Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast, episode 4 of the new season. We couldn't be happier having you listening with us today, and we've got some great topics ready for you. I'm here, sitting here with Lance Alexander to my right.
Hello.
And David Ralston, he ate a little bit of fish earlier in the day, so he's a little bit further over to my left.
Yes, thank you.
You can't heat up fish in a microwave, but we'll talk about that later. Today, we're going to be talking about the unwritten rules of hockey.
Well, let me ask you, Randy, before we jump into it, should we even mention and thank the fans that our popularity is rivaling
some of the top embarrassing. It is embarrassing that you're saying this to us, Lance. But yes, we've been growing quite a bit, and we have to thank all the people that that have stuck with us through the good and the bad and the planned and the unplanned parts of our podcast. Just thank you all for listening in and keeping the channel open when you and your little hockey guy or girl are going to your next rink. So we really appreciate it. And we have been growing, and the numbers have been very nice. And they're all pretty much about you, the listener, Coach Dave, and Lance. I am merely the facilitator. Who occasionally gets on a hockey board and tells people, hey, come listen to this hockey podcast. Dave and Raleigh, Coach Raleigh and Lance are fantastic people to listen to on any topic. And that said, now let me talk about my own topic. And I hope everyone isn't dropping out right now. The topic is unwritten rules of hockey. And I want to start off with one that I'll tell you, no matter what team you're on, there's always somebody with a lot more money than everyone else on the team, and they'll never understand the budgeting process of a hockey team. If you have like somebody that on your team that has absolutely no limits to what they can spend on hockey, they will never understand why you do not want to stay at the Biltmore, let's say, instead of the Holiday Express. They'll be like, I had one person that I was like, I remember it was in AA hockey. This lady come up to me. I said, well, we really can't, they said that we're going on one out of state trip, and now they set plan 3. And I said, we're not going to make it. And I said, why did you even join the club? I was like, okay. So this was another hockey divorce, by the way. Poor people. Like the 15th hockey divorce. And she had money coming through her divorce that it was unrivaled. I mean, this lady had plenty of money, and she looked at me like I was the biggest idiot for having joined a club and complained about how much money it would cost for 2 trips out of state more than I was told when I joined. I understand one trip, and you can complain about that, but I guess in her mind, you cannot complain about it. And the unwritten rule is you will be absolutely flattened by one of these people eventually. They will come up to you, they will look you right in the eye, and they will think of you as a peasant.
Boy, that how long ago was that?
That was a Heat AA. I guess that was 4 or 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. It's still fresh in my mind, though, because I still saw her like looking at me like, are you one of the day laborers? And I was like, no, I'm one of the people on your hockey team, ma'am. I'm so sorry. She had no sympathy for me whatsoever, because I was like
one of the day laborers.
Yeah, no, I know. I had no sympathy for me at all. I was like, that second trip, I just don't think we can come. And I was expecting that she might say something like, well, we'll look into that, or oh geez, that might, no sympathy was it. Well, you shouldn't have joined. For those listeners who do not know, I am a teacher, in the hockey world. The teacher is not probably the most likely profession to be. Usually it is, investor, Wall Street marketer. I don't know. I don't even know what people do. I know Lance, executive vice president. Good for you. Good man. So, and Ralston, I believe you have your fingers in so many different things that that I can't even count them. Although I'm guessing you have five.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So, but you know,
many nefarious businesses.
But
that,
none of
can't
us
be linked to me.
Yeah, but gentlemen, none of us are unlimited. And what I'm talking about is the unlimited person, the one that's the one that usually comes down hard on you. That's an unwritten rule of hockey. Be ready for it.
I'm trying to think of my a good unwritten one. And I would say it has to do with Randy, you know, along that same lines as you, is just the old, like, you got to do the privates with the coach, you know?
Oh, the unwritten rule of hockey. You're absolutely right. That is absolutely. In California, we have a caste system, and it is called the private lesson. And if you are paying for private lessons, and this isn't every coach, by the way, I will give it up to a few coaches that we've seen, they really don't care about money at all. They are, you know, really in it for the sport, and very generous with their time.
And you know what, by the way, an extension of that though, too, I noticed is because I've had coaches, you know, approach me and say, look, my decision-making process has nothing to do with whether you could afford to come out 3-4 times a week and take privates from me. The fact that your kid plays less than everyone else, purely coincidental.
A complete coincidence. Dave, would you like to chime in on this? You used to play for, yeah, I believe, the Burbank Club. What was that club called? I forget.
You played there too, so don't.
I don't recall. I do not recall that. I'm sorry.
Cubbies.
Yes, the Cubes. Did you ever feel the pressure to spend a little extra cash on your little AAA Marvel?
I think it's self-imposed pressure, but I do understand it, and I think a lot of people who aren't like an experienced hockey parent probably feel the pressure even more. I think it was more like that thing where you're like, well, my kid's, you know, here and he's making great progress. But what if we don't do this? Would that be a problem? Cause these other kids are out, you know, 3-4 times a week. And I think, you know, you gotta be able to see through that and realize it's a long-term investment. If your kid stays in hockey up to the age of 18, 19, 20, whatever. But I will say,
and yet I will say that private lessons, unless you do them with what I consider to be a top-notch coach, they don't matter at all. That is my opinion. That might not be written rule.
I think they matter, but they matter only in the short term. That's what you have to realize. It's Ralston, just
I'm taking you down. I'm taking you down a notch. Uh-huh. You're sitting there on the left side of me over here with your fish and your happy, right, smug, content look. I'm telling you, you may be wrong. I'm sorry I had to do that to you. I'm so sorry.
It's a short term thing. Like, you know, it's maybe the difference between your kid sort of being sharp or being rusty, or, you know, or maybe, you know, a little bit more fit, a little bit more prepared versus a little less. It's in the long term scope of things, it's probably not that big of a deal. But you even acknowledge yourself that with the right coach, it can be a significant thing for your kid.
I'm feeling really bad, right, about how hard I came in there, Coach. Did I come in high? Did I get elbow to the face?
No,
there?
I mean
was
listen,
that a 10-minute major on was that I really? I'm beginning to feel like I might have a major penalty on in my future here.
As long as I've known you,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast or not. But did I ever tell the story of the first time we kind of met on the podcast?
Are you talking about that CD motel down in Vernon? Or that was a setup, and I beat the rap. And you remember that?
That's okay. What they said.
I don't think
Sam
I've heard
Cook
this
too.
Story.
Well, this is, you know, when our kids were very young, and I think at the time, well, basically, you guys were joining a particular club with a coach that you knew and had played for before, or that he was going to be coaching. And our kids were little kids. I think my son was, I think he had been, yeah, he had played like Squirt B as a mite, and now he was going to probably move up to Double B. And so you came to the club with a coach, and it was for like a spring or summer team, because it was supposed to be a team that was going to play in Easter. Now, at the time, my son hadn't been playing a whole lot. And I think, you know, my feeling was he was developing. But so that they had this little skate, and there was like two kids from the Bears, my son and another kid that had also been on the same team. And there was like eight other kids. And some of the kids that were on that in this skate were very, very advanced. And so we did the little skate, and I watched it. And you, I guess, were acting as the manager for that particular team. And you were going around and getting signups. And I watched this thing, and I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, like my son is just not really even close to a lot of these kids. And so you came around and we're like, okay, well, we're getting the sign up for the team. And I said, well, thanks. It's nice to meet you. I don't think my son's going to be making the team. And you said, oh, he made the team. There's only 10 kids here, and there's 10 kids on the team. And I was like, oh, okay. That was our kind of introduction.
If it made you feel any better, you were essentially one of the 10 kids on the team as well. And also, if the listeners could understand this, Dave Ralston's kid was just a really cute little kid. I mean, he could have made it on charisma alone. I think he's underplaying the hockey skills he brought to the ice at that day. But, you know, if we just wanted to have a great picture, we would have put him up in front and in the middle. And that would have been worth it. Just, you know, he would have been good enough just for that. However,
well, that's nice, but
you are selling that kid short. You know, I always had a great belief in your son.
You've been a huge supporter of his, and I very much appreciate that. Many years we've known each other.
Oh yeah, no, I always thought that they never gave him his due. You know, like this is something that would happen. Dave would be on a team with his son, and his son would have like 12 goals and like 11 assists. And the first liners would have like half of that. And Dave and us on the second line would be begging for extra time. And they'd be like, no, that, you know, you guys really aren't ready. And we're like, you know, all your kid did was score. And always the same, you know, look at you the same. Be like, oh no, I don't know if he's ready. And I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe if you just look at the numbers, you would look at this kid and see that he's ready. But yeah. Dave Ralston is like the opposite of Moneyball. They would look at numbers for his kid and go, oh yeah, I don't know, second or third line, I guess. And I'd always be in the in the stands going, are you kidding me? You know, like he scores goals. Yeah. Every once in a while he'll, you know, get angry and take a penalty, or every once in a while he'll make a bad play. Every kid does. But he scores goals. You know,
but isn't Randy? Yeah. Isn't that one of the other unwritten rules we haven't got to yet? Which is, if someone's kid is better than yours, do not acknowledge it. Do not give them their just due.
I know. But by the way, as I said, it's only boys, because we talked about the fact that girls, you can be really nice to. So many people have been nice on this boys' team about my girl. But boys to boys, you just do not compliment each other in California hockey. Sorry, I interrupted, Dave.
Yeah, no, I do think there's an unwritten rule here, which, you know, sincerely, I would say this, that, you know, it's good to get a sort of check of where you are at. Like, cause that, at that point, that was really reality check for me, just saying, you know, my kid's here and these other kids are a notch above. And that's not the first time I saw that at that point. You know, I'd seen that like with kids that were maybe a little older than him, that seemed to be a whole level of ability above what he was capable of at that point. And I think that when you get those opportunities, there's a couple different ways you can approach them, and you should approach them as, you know, have your eyes open. Don't be defensive. Realize, you know, it's, like I said, a long-term investment, and your kid can and will get better in many cases, and give them opportunity. But also, it's a good chance to kind of see what's the competition, you know, that you're facing. So anyway, that's well, my unwritten rule.
No,
you
I like
just
it.
Gave me a thought, Dave, because I know that, and I guess this is some, this might just be, like you said, either SoCal or a California unwritten rule, that that there's a lot of people who feel, we've talked about this before, there's a lot of people who feel that the better your kid does, the worse the situation is for my kid, or it's making my kid look bad. And you get this, and I've had parents tell me that they've been on teams and they get these parents who are almost like quietly rooting against some of the better kids, you know?
Oh, they, and by the way, they do that all the time. You cannot tell me that you haven't seen somebody, and like, you can just see the wheels inside them. They're like, my son's line isn't out. I really would rather we didn't score. And it's right. Like, it is such a weird thing to like, you God, know,
please don't let that, please don't let that and, line score.
And
please.
do you know what? I am, there's one kid that I still remember that I never wanted him to score. I, you know, I'm letting you in. I'm letting you behind the curtain. This kid was so mean to my son. And you know, it didn't matter. I didn't scream at him. I didn't tell him he was a terrible person. I didn't yell at his father. They probably would have found a way to, you know, put me in a some unmarked grave. I remember, before we start treating all of these people as others, I was definitely one of the people who looked at that kid and all of the stuff that he put my kid through. And every time he touched the puck, I was thinking, you know, it'd be great if someone else would take that off him.
Right.
So I mean,
maybe he could just lose that puck there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if that kid got humiliated like 4, 5, 6, 10 times in a row. You know, I mean, just if it had to happen. I remember in one game, they wouldn't put out my son's line, and they lost. And my son scored the go-ahead goal. And in the last 5 minutes, they wouldn't put him out. And they tired out the first two lines so badly. And we were up 2-1. Then we were tied 2-2. And then we were down 3-2. And he never saw the ice after. And I was just like, I walked away from that game. And I do not like for our teams to lose. But I kind of felt like they deserved it. You know, I was like, that coach deserved it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That coach. It wasn't an important game. It wasn't one where, you know, you had to feel like, oh my gosh, I was just nasty to the whole team.
Yeah,
I just betrayed them. No, it was not. But I am not kidding you. I'm walking away from that game. I was like, yeah, that coach deserved it. They should. If you're going to coach like that, you're going to lose. So I'm good. I'm good with that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that what's the responsibility of the coach on some of these situations?
Yeah.
Is it win every game that you can, or is it, you know, you have a whole roster of players. Like, what's the point of sitting a line for the last 10 minutes of a third period of a game that doesn't matter, especially when the line's already had success and put a puck in the net?
I just didn't like how he walked out, and he doesn't usually notice when people are, you know, like he's very hockey centric. He didn't care, but he noticed that day. He was like, Dad, I really thought that I could, you know, do something if they let me out there. And I was like, yeah, I thought so too. In fact, you did, you know, I mean, you know, I even had, it was actually a time where I thought he was doing well. And of course, you know, it is, you know, you have 1,000 complaints, and you don't always see that they match up with 10,000 good moments, and they do, they are overpowered by the good moments in hockey. But, you know, when you focus back in on just the complaints, you can find them in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I had one more, unwritten rule, and that is something that, you know, like everyone gets shocked. When this happens, and it's going to happen. The unwritten rule is once you start playing contact hockey, someone on the other team is going to do a massively cheap shot at one of your kids. It's usually the smallest kid on the ice. It's usually a coward, but there will be a nasty thing and everybody is going to get angry. And there is going to be people throwing around words in the stands back and forth because nobody on the other team will say, oh yeah, that was a pretty bad hit. I'm real sorry about that. They'll all, you know, rise to the defense of, well, he shouldn't, that kid shouldn't be on the ice if he can't take a hit from a 300 pound, you know, thug to his head. That always happens. Now, what the other part is, there'll also be a kid on your team that does the same damn thing. And he'll run over a kid on the other team. He'll just run him right over. And most likely, you will stay silent during that time when the other team is screaming and grousing at you. And you'll be the exact same people that you really hated 2 games ago. But it happens. And you know, almost every team I've been on with contact hockey, that exact scenario happened. It's nothing to be proud of. I really think that it would be better if the they would hit the big kids and again not try to kill the little kid, because again it's very cowardly. I still think that if you're gonna try to make a big hit on somebody, the easiest thing to do is to take somebody that's 195 pounds and knock them out of their socks. But it is something that I have seen. I've seen it repeatedly, and I leave it open to you, gentlemen.
Well, hey, you know, it's so funny. I have a great story for you about that.
Thank you.
And that is, we were playing some games in Phoenix, Arizona. And I will say this.
Big mistake. Keep going.
We were playing the Coyotes. We were part of the Ducks at the time. And I will say this. The game was very, very chippy. There was a lot of tension in the crowd. You know, there was
this is triple A level hockey too, right? You're talking about a pretty high level hockey. You're not talking about like might be. You're this talking is
16
about
triple A.
There we go. Yeah.
And the Coyotes had like this huge contingent of young people, high school people come to watch the game. And when they scored, they got, you know, again, I'm on the other team, so maybe I'm just sensitive, but I felt that they were a little bit too overzealous in their celebration of the goals. So when we scored, you know, parents on our side started to get a little overzealous in their face kind of. And so it was a little rocky, but anyway, so we had a player, exactly like you said, Randy, who had a tendency to take things a little too far. And he had been in several scraps and he had been suspended a few times for said scraps.
Was his last name to Alexander for perhaps? I just need to know that before we react to the story for the listeners at home, every once in a while, Lance will start telling a story. And he'll like say, there's this kid that was like planting people, throwing them out of the arena. And we need to know whether it's one of his sons before we react, because if it is, you're not supposed to get angry. So go ahead, Lance.
So it was not one of my sons, thankfully.
Thank you.
And I was happy that my sons weren't on the ice and didn't get on the ice. But the game was winding down. We were down by one. With the clock running out, we had pulled the goalie. They scored in the empty net. So the game's over. There's like less than 10 seconds left in the game. The game's over. And who does the coach decide to put out for the faceoff? So
You can't put that kid out there.
Exactly. And I turned to my wife. I remember distinctly, and I told her, like, are you kidding me? This is, you know, this had all the earmarkings of embarrassing.
Yeah,
and
going sure south. Enough, yep.
Puck drop, went to a corner. They were kind of skating casually because the game's over. And the guy's kind of just holding the puck. The rest of our team's already skating back to the bench. But our guy, Junior, goes full speed head on and just tries to put the guy into the first row of the stands. And when that happened, like all hell broke loose. And
We had one of those on the rain too. We had one of our kids, one of the people that was constantly getting into trouble, and we're down by three and they put him out. And it's been a chippy game. And this exact same thing happened. This dude just went straight, he didn't even look at the puck. He just took, the puck dropped the guy and he went straight for one of the wingers, which is weird because he was a center. So he had to cross over and just smack this guy. And he didn't even have the puck. So it was just a ridiculous moment. And by the way, I'm not saying that we stood. I don't think anybody stood behind that kid. We were all embarrassed. We were looking at the other team going, yeah, sorry about that. That guy's an idiot. So, there are times when the hockey fraternity, it's much more important to keep people safe than it is to back up your kid. And that was definitely the case for us.
By the way, Randy, that was the game I know I've talked to you about before, where that certain ex-NHL player was in the stand.
Yeah. He was taunting your son, right?
Exactly. And my son taunted him back. There was...
Yes. We can't say it on the air, but his son had one of the, I would call it one of the most gutting zingers I've ever heard. It was mean. It was slightly over the, just barely over the line. And it was something that I cannot imagine this guy did not just absolutely just try to launch at your son. But yeah, I remember.
Do you remember that was called for?
Oh, yes, I do. I do remember what he said. I remember exactly what he said. And we'd tell you right after this. that would be if we had sponsors. I would definitely do that.
After this word from our sponsors.
That's right. Concussion aid. Does your son have 8 concussions?
Right.
By the way, I've been talking to some people, juniors, it's taken out a lot of the kids that we've talked about. Lots of concussions, lots of sadness on that front.
There was that team in the, I shouldn't say the league, that we used to talk about, and all the kids that we knew that we were all like, why are they playing juniors? They'd be, absolutely tearing up at their own age group, but they're all playing juniors. And like, to a kid, they all had major injuries, and several of them were like multi-concussions.
Unwritten rule of hockey is do not put your kid into juniors until he is very ready for juniors. I've just seen too many kids slide into that. And they don't protect themselves because they're not used to it. They're big enough in regular, 18, 16s, that they never had to worry about it. And then they get into juniors where people will flatten you just for you don't even have to have the puck. You don't even have to think that you're going to get the puck.
Kid's 16, 17 too.
Yeah.
And you're playing in a league that has 19 and 20 year olds.
Right. Right.
Don't be surprised when there's a guy out there. In fact, there was a guy that.
We know,
playing for the local team, who I believe was like 6'6", 230, 40.
Yeah, no, he's built like a
brick
shithouse.
I remember seeing the guy walk around the rink because I was coaching.
Yeah, he was a monster.
He scared the hell out of me. I am not a small man. Lance, you're bigger than any of us. Did that guy scare the shit out of you?
He certainly did.
Yes.
Could you imagine like having to play against a guy like, you're an average size person and this monster of a human being is, and his whole game was physicality, was knocking people on their butts. And so you've got these guys out there. Also remember he broke the glass twice and they told him no more a slap shot. You'll have to pay for the glass the next time you do this.
These are
some of the people you might be playing against, your kid might be playing against and this was a junior league not known for matriculating players. In fact, it was kind of known as the Euro Tourist League because they had a lot of guys who were sort of from Europe coming to the States, getting a vacation, playing some hockey, maybe not a lot of prospects to go on in their career. And that league was sort of infamous for that. So there was these older kids, and there was one kid in particular I remember we used to talk about it, who was so talented and gifted as a goal scorer, and the kid was knocked out for the majority of the year with, I think he had 3 concussions. I don't know if he, if that was the end of his career or not, but sure was a shame.
I've I kept up with that kid a little bit, and you know, all I can say is, you know, I don't know how far he would have made it, but man, I can tell you the concussions were the reason he stopped. I mean,
yeah, that didn't help.
Everybody said, and he was very talented. So, but I don't know.
And also, he's a really nice kid. He helped assistant coach on a team that I was coaching.
Yeah,
for no other reason, just because he was
golden
a kid.
A golden kid. But yeah, yeah. I'm sorry that some of the unwritten rules of hockey are a little sad. But I'm going to push us off this topic because we're about to clear out here for episode 4. And I wanted to just bring up a little bit of information that I had on the NCRHA, which is the National Collegiate Roller Hockey Association. Lance and Coach Raleigh, if you can guess what state, there are only 7 Division I teams. If you can guess what state they're in, I will give you a brand new set of rollerblades. So if you can give me one guess, would you like to guess on the states, the Division I? There are 7 clubs in Division I. Division II actually has like Arizona Wildcats. They have a lot of like real, you know, big Ohio State Buckeyes. But Division I has some pretty strange bedfellows. I have no idea where some of these are. But would you like to guess what cities they might come from?
City or state?
State.
I'm going to go with Kentucky.
We have no Kentucky on the board. I'm so sorry, Lance. Thank you for playing, but you don't get the rollerblade.
Wow. I'm going to say Missouri.
Missouri. The Lindwood Lions are from Missouri. Well done, Coach. And they actually appear also to be one of the better teams. They're beating Michigan State and Slippery Rock 10-0, 11-1. This team is unstoppable. If you're on the Lindwood Lions, and we're giving you a huge shout out from the Youth Hockey Podcast. All I'm saying is, you know, I don't have the inside track on roller hockey. My kids don't play it. But there are Division I programs for roller hockey. There are 7 of them: Slippery Rock Pride, Farmingdale Rams, Arizona State Southern Sun Devils, Bethel Wildcats, Grand Canyon University Lopez, and the Rowan Profs. And obviously, you know, these are going to be teams that that have yet another way to keep a kid playing when he goes off to college. If you don't want to spend money on the ice, or if you don't want to worry about the kind of checking that happens on the ice, you know, just look into it. It is an actual sport. I mean, you know, we have the professional roller hockey is not very well attended. Was it ever a very big sport, Raleigh? I know you used to play roller hockey.
I think there was a brief period of time where it was a, you know, it was a path for a lot of guys that had played a high level of hockey as a, you know, second career, maybe.
Maybe this is a path for kids that are leaving ice hockey and want to play into college. But, you know, very high level ice hockey players do sometimes make very high level roller hockey players. So just a thought. It's it comes as a kind of another way to keep your kid in the sport or sport adjacent moving forward. There are 7 clubs in Division I. There are 12 clubs in Division II, and Division III goes on for quite a bit. So, and then
That commute for that Division I, though.
If
you got a team in Missouri playing a team playing Slippery Rock in Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
that's,
no.
That's more than a short drive to get.
Well,
to
you have the
game.
Sun Devils. You have the Sun Devils as well. Yeah. I mean, they've got to. I mean, they've either got to have frequent flyer programs or something. I don't know, but they've got to have something going on there. I guess maybe just, you know, conference a group play or something like that. That's what they must do. But anyway, look into it if you'd like. I just called it up because I was like, I wonder if there are any real, you know, like college level programs that are considered Division I, and there they were. So anyway,
right.
I hope that all of our kids are playing ice hockey. If they're not, I hope they're playing roller hockey. And if they're not, I hope they are enjoying the sport with their sons and daughters later in life. So anyway, that
don't forget beer league. That's a very important
beer league
step on the I mean, there's nothing better. Let me tell you, there's nothing better in life that it's like the movie Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better than that. You played a game where probably your team has seven players.
So now you played with Keanu Reeves, right? That this is
a long time ago.
That's all I. By the way, I'm going to slip that in. Anytime you bring up Beer League, all I'm going to do is plug the fact that Coach, you know, he played in Division One. He met all some of the people from the Dream Team that won the Miracle on Ice. And yet, there's only one thing that I will constantly do to Coach. I'm like, did you play with Keanu Reeves? He's like, yes, yes, I did.
Yeah, well, don't forget, I played with Steve Barilla that wrote the Mighty Ducks too.
I know, but I
by
know.
By the way,
you think? Do you think that that scores as high as Keanu Reeves?
I just want to say no, probably not. I mean, obviously, no. Keanu's a much more famous guy.
He's Keanu.
I want to say great guy. Yeah. And this comes to my point, which is when it was his time, when it was his games to bring the beer. Guy was money. He always had the beer.
Because
there's nothing worse than when it's your week and you show up and that game's over and you played whatever it was 42 minutes of the 60 minutes and you go into the locker room and man, a cold one. There's no better, more refreshing beverage you will ever have.
Is there anything Keanu can't do? Anything?
Listen, the guy was a good hockey player. I mean,
I know
everybody we had on that team was fairly legitimate. Yeah. And he's a goalie if people don't know. In fact, one of his early roles was he was a goalie. I don't think he even had any lines in the movie Youngblood.
Yeah.
So if anybody ever wants to go back and look at that, you might be very surprised to see. Look at the goalie, you'll see Keanu Reeves was the goalie in that.
Was that shot on black and white or a 16 millimeter?
It was color. I mean
color
featured Rob Lowe. was Youngblood.
Okay.
The whole movie was
obviously
was about,
I need.
Yeah. Apparently, his dad never taught him how to fight. That's the lesson of the movie.
Aw.
I guess. He was so talented, but if only his dad had showed him earlier how to fight.
I love how a couple of lessons and the littlest guy in the team can beat the toughest goon in the league.
It's Rob Lowe too. Which is kind of funny.
He's not just a pretty face. He's got a lot going on with him. Anyway, right. Thank you all for listening to episode 4 of the Youth Hockey Podcast. If you would like to get a hold of us, please reach out to us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Keep listening. Keep telling people about us if you don't mind. We do love to spread the message of youth hockey and hopefully give everybody a little bit of background that helps them enjoy it even more. Because we yell, we scream, we cry, we bitch, we complain, but mainly we just loved it. This has been like some of the best times of our lives watching our kids play this sport. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you in week 5. Hope your kids do well.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.